This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Carolyn Mazzoni. Carolyn is in Westchester, Ohio, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today's date is April 21st, 2009. It is now 9:03 a.m. And Carolyn, thank you for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. Please tell me about your quilt, He Stands on the Shoulders of Many.
Well, that quilt was inspired by the Selma to Montgomery march that occurred in 1965. When I think about being a citizen in this country, I think about the right to vote, because that's one of the greatest treasures of being an American, that freedom and that right to vote. And it was because of the Selma to Montgomery Civil Rights March that there was legislation that got African Americans the right to vote. That Selma to Montgomery March for voting rights lasted 3 weeks, and one of the turning points of that march was on what we call Bloody Sunday. Bloody Sunday occurred March 7th, 1965, when there were 600 civil rights workers, civil rights marchers that headed out east of Selma, Alabama on U.S. Route 80, and they only got 6 blocks. And there was a bridge, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and when they approached that bridge to cross the bridge, the state and local lawmen attacked the marchers with billy clubs and tear gas, and they drove them back into Selma. And that was a big turning point for the civil rights movement, because there was a lot of media there, and across the nation, national television shows were interrupted with the broadcast of what was happening in Selma, Alabama. And it was the first time America, the nation, got an opportunity to see really what was going on with the civil rights workers, and people were horrified that these marchers were beaten down like they were. And initially, this march started out with 600 people, but by the time 3 weeks later, when they actually got a court order to set out to Montgomery, there were over 3,200 people, and then they ended up, the final count was 25,000 marchers. 25,000 people from all over the country came to join in that march. And that would not have happened had not the news been broadcast across the nation that people were being brutalized just for attempting this civil rights march. So that was the catalyst for this Voting Rights Act. So that was the inspiration for my quilt. Because when I talk about the president standing on the shoulders of many, it took the sacrifice of many African Americans, not only during this period in our history, but from slavery until this period in our history, many sacrifices politically and socially to get to this point where we have African American elected to the highest elected office in the land. So that was the inspiration. And in particularly, I think about Congressman John Lewis, because I vividly remember seeing him as a young person watching this on television, seeing him get hit in the head by state troopers and mauled by the dogs, and now this man is a United States congressman, and he was one of the inspirations for that piece as well, because he's a very gentle spiritual soul who has been through so much, so indeed the president stands on many shoulders. When I started out making the quilt, I wanted a map in the quilt to indicate geographically that the route of the march. And the quilt is applique and hand and machine quilted. Very seldom now I have the opportunity to make quilts because I'm so busy doing other things. However, it was important to me to participate in this particular exhibition because of the occasion.
Well, tell me more about the exhibition.
Roland Freeman called me initially when he had the idea of an exhibition and asked me if I would find quilters to participate in the exhibition. I suggested that the quilts be in small format because the quilters only had a month to make the quilts, and it was during the Christmas holiday and Thanksgiving holiday, and people were really, really busy and didn't have that much time. So I looked to members of the Women of Color Quilters Network to pull artists who might be interested in the project, and two that I knew could create work in a short period of time that would be befitting age. So I told Roland Freeman after I got the list together and contacted everybody that he was getting the best of the best that the Women of Color Quilters Network had to offer. So one of the things, too, that I asked the artist in when making these quilts, I told them that I told them that this is not just about the physical image of President Obama. I didn't want to see 44 quilts that are portraits of the president, because this exhibition that they were to create was about more than the image of one man. Actually, it was about the journey of African Americans as they weave their way through the social and political politics of this country. It's about the journey. It was about the journey of African Americans in this country, from the slave ship to the White House. I wanted them to address that story, because that's how President Obama was able to be the president. We've been through so much in this country, socially and politically and economically and just on every strata, every facet of this country's being, African American and African American culture is woven through it. So they did not disappoint me. The quilts are some of the best works to ever come out of the Women of Color Quilters
Network. Is He Stands on the Shoulders of Many typical of your style?
That quilt is typical of my style. I enjoy making story quilts. I enjoy making narrative quilts. I find the work more interesting if I have a theme or a story in which to work from, some theme that I want to address in my quilt. And usually the quilts are either based on something political, of a political nature, or they address issues that are close to my heart, personal issues that I enjoy, such as music. So my quilts either deal with music or jazz particularly, or women's issues, because I'm very much involved in both.
What are your plans for this quilt?
I have no plans for it. It's been in the show, and I've received the quilt back maybe a month or two ago, and I have no plans to show it again. So that's that. It's just, it's here. And it will be in my collection. I collect quilts. I have over 700 of them.
Wow.
And not mine, okay, but I have over 700 quilts. So that quilt is historically important to me, so I'll probably just keep it in my collection.
Tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Well, my interest in quilt making has been more from the aspect of an organizer. 25 years ago, I founded the Women of Color Quilters Network, and that's been my life's work. And the making of He Stands on the Shoulders of Many was a departure for me, because the past 4 or 5 years, I haven't been able to make that many quilts because I've been involved with running the Women of Color Quilters Network, and that's like a full-time job. So it doesn't leave time for much of anything else. I started the organization as a means to let African-American quilt makers know about the cultural significance as well as the monetary value of their quilts. We started out with 9 people, and over the years it's grown tremendously. One of the things that we do is present quilt exhibitions to museums around the country. We give workshops around the country to children and youth, trying to interest them in learning to quilt, because when you think in terms of the quilt population of African-American quilts within the realm of quilting in this country, there are not that many of us. So it's important to me to try and interest young people in learning how to quilt. That's very important, because I think about the future.
Okay, you mentioned Women of Color Quilters Network. Do you belong to any other art or quilt groups?
I am on the board of the Studio Art Quilts Associates. I'm a member of the local quilt guild here in my city, Westchester, Ohio. I am a member of the Women's Caucus for the Arts, the American Quilting Association. I'm sorry, the National Quilting Association. So that's it insofar as quilting organizations.
Why is it important to you to belong to these groups?
Well, I'm interested in communing with other quilt makers. I'm interested in learning more about quilt making. The Women of Color Quilters Network is about preservation, okay? Outside of that, with other groups, I'm interested in the camaraderie. I'm interested in learning. I have never had time, I've never had the opportunity to really take any quilt classes. I'm totally self-taught, so I enjoy reading about techniques. I enjoy being around people that utilize new techniques, and I can see pretty much what's going on and hopefully take away something that I can utilize in my own work. So it's about learning and it's about camaraderie. I often say in my travels, and I travel across the country at least once a week, I never meet a stranger in the quilt community. Quilters are very special people. It doesn't matter what region of the country you're in or what group of people. Quilters are just very special folks, and you don't know any strangers.
Now, you curate, you write, you lecture, you collect. What's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing to do is curate shows. And write the books that accompany the shows. I think it's important for the sake of history to have these shows, and especially have the books that commemorate these exhibitions, because it's like a footprint that, especially for the network, for the African American quilter, like a footprint on the canvas of American quilt making. It documents our participation in American quilt making. And that's very important to me. It means everything to see that African American quilters are duly recorded in history. Quilt history is being active participants. Especially, I'm interested in the maker of contemporary quilts within the African American community, because prior to 10 years ago, there was not that much emphasis on the contemporary quilts made within the African American community. Most of the emphasis was on improvisational quilts. So it's very important for me to see that these contemporary quilters carve out a niche in history for themselves, to make their presence known and to let people know that African-American quilting is more than improvisational quilting. We as a community participate, or rather make, all types of quilts, not just improvisation. professional quilt. There are people that make traditional American patchwork and applique quilts, as well as art quilts and the improvisational quilt. That has to be documented, and it has to be written about. So I see myself as an instrument to make that happen. So this is how I like to spend my time, and it's my favorite thing to do.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
Well, I have many favorite quilters, and of course, I think, for the most part, they're narrative quilters. I admire the quilts of Gwen McGee from Jackson, Mississippi. The stories that she addresses, the issues that she addresses in her quilts are important. And they make people stop and think, as well as being well-crafted. Her quilts are impeccable. The technique, impeccable. I like the quilts of Marion Coleman. Again, these are narrative quilts. Again, she's one that tackles issues, and I like to see that, and they're well crafted. Another favorite quilter is Penny Sisto, who's not only, she's a dear friend as well, and I always look forward to seeing new quilts by Penny Sisto, because they're very dramatic, visually dramatic, as well as being steeped in stories. Both she and Gwen McGee. And then there are two young quilters within the Women of Color Quilters Network, Carolyn Crump and, oh my gosh, did you hear that?
I did.
Just one moment.
That's okay. Go right ahead.
I'm expecting an exhibition back.
Go right ahead.
Gosh. One moment. Okay. Okay. I have someone to take care of that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And so just, you had two women. You had Carolyn Crump.
Yes, and Sanji Hunt. They are serious art quilters that make abstract work. They both dye and paint their fabrics. They use all types of interesting techniques. Carolyn Crump's work is three-dimensional and just mind-boggling in its form. She has not been exhibited that much, but hopefully within the next 18 months, she will have several major exhibitions and her work be introduced on a national level. And both she and Sanji Hunt, I think, are going to do very well in the quilt world, because their work is so unusual. So unusual. So I think people are going to be in for some big surprises with these two young folks.
You mentioned
those are my five favorites.
It's a wonderful list too. You mentioned collecting quilts and that you have more than 700 quilts. What criteria do you use for purchasing a quilt for your collection?
Well, most of the quilts are African-American made quilts, and they're African-American contemporary quilts. But then on the other side, I collect all types of quilts, everybody's quilts, but most of them are African-American. And the quilt has to touch my spirit. It has to speak to me. I have to be able to live with it, okay? I rotate the hanging of the quilts in my home and in my studio, and when I can wake up and look at it first thing in the morning and want to see it all day long, then I know, okay, that's the quilt for me. I have to be able to live with it. And it has to touch my spirit. It has to mean something to me. So that's the criteria. I have no criteria insofar as technique. I don't look for a particular artist. The quilt has to speak to me. So that's the criteria. It's a spiritual thing. And I have a wide range of quilts. I have quilts by Faith Ringo, as well as most of the major artists within the Women of Color Quilters Network. And there are a few favorite artists, like Marion Coleman and Faith Ringo and Carolyn Crump. For my favorite artists, I may have several of their quilts. It's like candy. It's like chocolate. I can't have just one. And I think that's my personality, too, compulsive. I can't have just one of anything. It's so my favorite quilters, I may have several of their quilts, or dozens. It just depends.
Well, you mentioned your studio, so describe your studio.
My studio is in my home. On the lower level, it's 1,100 square feet, and I have, it serves not only as my studio space, but my husband calls it my art gallery, because, two, I have many of my favorite paintings downstairs, and the work that I love, I have to live with it. I want to see it. I want to be surrounded by it. I want to see it first thing when I wake up in the morning. I want to live with it because it makes me happy. So in my studio, I have not only quilts, but I have my favorite paintings up as well. And my sewing machines. And I'm sort of... I'm compulsive about organization as well. So everything has to be in its place, and all the fabrics are arranged according to color. And I guess like every other quilter, you know, we're very picky about our studio space and how it looks and how it's arranged, that it can work best for what we do. So my studio is like my sanctuary as well. My office space is on that level as well. There's one corner for my computer and books and whatnot. So I could actually live there and not come up for air for a couple of weeks. So It truly is a sanctuary, and it's an environment that I enjoy. And the quilts are scattered out all over my home.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
Oh, geez. Well, for the art quilters, it's acceptance of the art form within the larger art community. I think that's a challenge for some quilters. Different groups, though, have different challenges. The Women of Color Quilters Network and the African American quilters that belong to that organization have a totally different set of challenges, and that's just the acceptance of the work, period. Any kind of work that they produce, if it's not improvisational work. So the challenges vary with the group. It depends on the objectives of organizations and the objectives of the quilters themselves.
How have you seen things change in the 25 years that the Women of Color Quilters Network has been around?
There have been lots of changes insofar as, first of all, technology has brought so much to the quilt world, introducing new tools and new ways of doing things, new materials that are all incorporated into quilts, and quilt makers using these tools and materials to create quilts. So that's been new. That's new, and it's made quilt making easier. And technically more challenging, and it's brought about a more sophisticated type of quilt, a different kind of quilt. So I think the greatest change has been in technology. Then, again, another change is seeing more quilts in museums. It's now like old hat, you know. 25 years ago, you didn't see that many museums that would devote entire gallery to quilt exhibitions or space for quilt exhibitions. And now you see that a lot, and it's become quite normal to see the country's museums have quilt exhibitions.
So why are quilts and quilt makers important to you?
Quilts are important because the physical quilts are important to me because they give me joy. They bring me joy. They bring me joy. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, I think about the historical aspect of quilts. I'm interested in recording that history. That's important, to record quilt history, because it gives us a window into American society, families and lives and social structure of peoples living here in this country. So it's at once fascinating and it's important. So that's what's important. And then the quilt makers themselves, people. There's just a wide variety of people that I met, and everybody brings something interesting to the table. So that's been an interesting point for me, meeting quilters of all races, gender, across the country, and sharing that common love of quilt making.
You talk about, you know, quilts speaking to you. What do you think makes a quilt artistically powerful?
The first thing I look at are the images in the quilts. I look at the image. And the color speaks to me. Color combinations speak to me. And I look at the craftsmanship. But the first thing that I see the image. The next thing I see is the color. Then I'm going to hone in closer and look at the technique. So the graphics grab me first. But if the quilt, as a buyer, as a collector, if the quilt is not well made, I don't care how strong the graphics are, then that's not a quilt I'm going to take home.
What are you working on right now?
Oh, gee. Currently, I'm writing 3 books, 2 of which are behind schedule. Actually, 1 is 2 years behind schedule. So I'm writing these 3 books. I'm curating 2 new exhibitions. I'm in the process of organizing those exhibitions now. So the next year and a half is pretty full for me with the books and the exhibitions. I started my own publishing company 3 years ago, and initially I started out wanting this company just to publish the books for the network exhibitions. However, it's not panning out like that. We're starting to do more books for other folks, so that's keeping me pretty busy too. All the publications are quilt related though, so that's a good thing. So I find myself doing everything but making quilts, and that kind of makes me sad, but maybe when I finish all of my projects, I can come back around full circle to where I started, and that's making quilts.
So how do you balance your time?
Well, that's a good question. How do I balance time? There is no balance.
Isn't that
I wish I could find a balance, okay? You just do what you have to do, and if things fall short, you just try and catch up with it the next day. A nice, happy balance and a happy medium for me would be the inclusion of making more quilts and having time to actually sit down and sew, but it's not like that. So all I can do right now is just curate shows and write books. And then there's a lot of traveling in between that. So those two events, these two jobs just kind of consume my life right now. So there is nothing else. And I don't find that there's any balance in life. I often say there's no such thing as a superwoman, okay, and there isn't. I feel I can't do it all, but I try and do the best that I can. with the jobs that I do and balancing family in between all this other, all the other things.
What does your family think of your quilt making and your involvement in quilts?
Well, I have three sons, and they're all grown. And they appreciate my quilts, and my husband appreciates my quilts. They've always appreciated my quilts. I'm sure all of them wish that I had more time for them because I travel so much, as well as, you know, being involved with the books and the exhibitions. So I'm sure they wish I had more time for them. I can't say that they're selfish like that, because that's not selfish. That's just human nature and the nature of families. But they do recognize the importance of quilt making in my life, and they appreciate my quilts. So I'm lucky in that aspect. They appreciate my quilts and cherish them and recognize them as artworks, important artworks.
How do you want to be remembered?
My legacy insofar as quilt making will be the founding of the Women of Color Quilters Network, and finding, or rather recording, the contributions of African American quilt makers to American quilt making, especially for the contemporary African American quilt maker. It's important for me that I do everything that I can to record their works, to exhibit their works, so that they have a place in quilt history.
Is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't touched upon before we conclude?
Not really. I'll probably think of 100 things when we hang up.
It's not human nature.
I can't think of anything right now.
Can you think of yourself more as an artist or a quilt maker, or do you even make a distinction?
I don't make a distinction. I've never really made a distinction, okay? To me, the big brouhaha between art, the definition of art and quilts and craft and quilts, that doesn't enter into my realm, because I think everything we create, if it's a feast to the eyes, it's art. I don't make a separation. I've always looked at quilters as artists, because they're creating. I don't care whether it's traditional or art quilts or contemporary quilts or improvisational quilts. Everybody, every artist that's made those quilts, they're artists. They're creating art. So there's no difference between those words, okay? It's just a play on words. We're all artists. And that's how I see it. And that's how I've seen it from day one.
Well, I think this is a great way to conclude. I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to share with me And we are going to conclude our interview at 9:49.